Brandy, good morning. I'm surprised to hear from you.
Good morning. Do you hear me?
I do. Did your schedule change?
No. I have like 15, 20 minutes to be on the call. So I'm Hello?
Hi.
Okay.
That's weird. Anonymous just left the conference. Don't know who that is. Anyway, I'm glad you can join us even if it's for a little bit, and then you'll still have the opportunity to listen to the call in its entirety when you have time.
Right.
Are you in your meditation training today? Or what?
I am. We just got here last night, but it was like a crazy long day of canceled flights.
Okay, Nicole and Jess is not one name.
Yes, but we're sharing the line, and now I'm realizing that since we're in the same room, Sasha, maybe when it comes to the coaching time, we'll have to disconnect, and I can call back in and go into ours.
Are you guys having limited phone lines in L.A.?
Well, we work in the same office, open air environment, a big open area where our colleagues are, so normally Nicole and I will take the call together in a conference room.
That's perfect. I'm just, teasing you a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So it's totally great. I'm glad you guys are here. And so I'm assuming you guys all got my email that it was just supposed to be Jess and Nicole and myself on the call, but Brandy is on, and she's going to be joining us for the first 20 minutes. Olga may jump in for the last 20 minutes. It's kind of a potpourri of time frames here. But regardless, we're still going to be focused and engaged in following today's agenda. So thanks for being here, everyone. Is there someone that would like to do just a brief grounding this morning for us?
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's Brandy on the line. So wherever you're at, just take a moment and close your eyes and soften the expression on your face and allow for a deep exhale. Feel the exhale move all the way down your body and into your feet. And just allow your breath to move naturally. Press down into your feet if you're sitting in a chair. And let yourself just arrive to the session fully present and available to receive the teachings. And if there's any tension that you're feeling, take a moment and just acknowledge it. Allow yourself permission to release it. I know that you've cleared your schedule just to be present for this time together. Slowly, when you're ready, arrive on the class, fully present and aware, receive the teachings. When you're ready, gently open your eyes.
Thank you so much. At least that was just exactly what I needed, so hopefully it was what everyone else needed. Thank you, Brandy. So welcome, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great week. Let's go around, and I'll begin with Brandy just simply because she's limited on time. And if you would, please share with the group one win, one challenge, and maybe one action challenge from the homework. Again, we'll just keep it pretty brief, just about 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
Okay. I'll do it briefly. So one win this week was letting go of a client that I wasn't happy working with and knowing that it wasn't really working. Sort of identifying that and also expressing and, letting that go, letting that change happen. And then a win that I got another new client, which will be fun to work with.
Yay.
And hold on. So the action challenge, I'm trying to think what the action challenge was.
It was in the yoga supplement, if you've got that pulled up. If not,
yeah.
On page.
The seat as yep. a teacher?
It's actually, wait, where am I being? Page 4.
Right, but I didn't show exactly what the challenge was. Like, I read that, I read it, but I didn't show what the challenge was.
Well, that's a great question. I thought the action challenge was on page 4. On the mat, off the mat, being present,
okay,
being
okay.
authentic. Is I and if somebody, please correct me if I said something different. Going back to week 3. Yes, action challenges, page 4 in the yoga supplement. And if you didn't do them and you thought it was something different, don't even stress about it. Don't even worry.
Yeah, I'm not stressing about it because I didn't do it. I just read up to page 3.
Okay, totally great. Well, thank you for being a shining example of how letting go of what's not serving you can create possibility for things that are serving you to come into your life. So I'm really glad that you have another client that you can engage fully with. So congratulations.
Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. Which one of the dynamic duo wants to go first?
This is Jess. I'll go.
Okay.
My win was completing our 2014 budget for our department. It was a lot of work. And it went really smoothly, and that made me happy. The challenge this week was noticing how my energy affects the energy of my new puppy and really regulating my emotional response to her so that she can also be regulated and calm. And that has been a growth opportunity for me, for sure. So that was awesome, noticing how when I'm calm, she will be more calm, and when I'm more stern, gentle but firm, then she's more responsive. So that's been a daily challenge. And my action challenge that I chose was, what does it mean to have a servant's heart? And I just loved that question. It really resonated with me. I planned out this year, or was hoping this year for me would be all about service through devotion. So this really spoke to me, this idea of being devoted but in service. And oftentimes when something good happens to me, I can get a little heady about it. And so really reminding my energy to ground down and that it's all in humble service of my higher self and my higher calling. And I really liked that question.
That's awesome. I wish I could tell you that I wrote this supplement, but I didn't. But that is a beautiful question, and I'm glad it resonated with you. And thank you for sharing. The budget thing is huge, so that's out of the way. And I don't know if you sent the puppy pictures to other people, but I showed my right? For my tree, I know that. I'm totally naming my dog that. I showed the puppy to everyone that I know. I showed the puppy pictures. And I'm like, oh, and so it's so interesting that, because this is a new thing in your life, and you're talking about energy, and everything is energy, and just being aware of that is just sort of a way that you're training her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's adorable.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Nicole, what would you like to share?
So the win, I would say, we had an amazing circle with our teacher training group on Sunday. So 23 students in our training, and they were all super, super happy with the way that it's been going for the last couple of weeks. So that was a huge win. And I would say challenges in terms of this week would be just streamlining, managing my energy and my time, and just making sure that I stay present and I'm not leaking energy. what resonated with me was the action challenges on the mat. It says write down what it means to get out of your head and be present. Mm-hmm. And when I am busy as I am right now, and I don't even like using the word busy anymore when I'm challenged by time, I find that I'm less present when I'm actually in something because I'm not giving it my full attention because I'm thinking of the next thing. And so I was saying on the mat, you know, getting out of the head is one thing, but when you're a teacher, if you're in your head, you're going to forget things in class or you might even trip over your words. And so I'm just being very mindful of that. Like, where do I trip up with my head? and am I present or am I in the future? I tend to be futuristic, so it's definitely planning the next thing. So.
Yeah, I can relate to pieces of that, Nicole. I'm just curious, because we're going to be talking about this a little bit today. What's going to happen, or what do you think would happen if you're not present with your client in a coaching role?
Well, you're probably going to either hijack their agenda or not be in a state of listening. And I think it becomes really subtle, too. It's not just listening to their words. It's listening to their emotional state, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. requires a lot of presence.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I love this yoga supplement, because it just continues to bridge these principles of not only how we show up in our lives, but just using yoga and our time and wisdom on the mat to work with our clients off the mat. So it's just it's a brilliant parallel. So thanks for sharing, everyone. One more thing. When I love that you say you don't use the word busy anymore. I've decided not to use that, and instead I replace it with abundance. And I've got so much abundance in my life, and I don't always necessarily believe it because, you know, it makes me get stressed when I am too busy, but it's amazing the energy that can shift just from shifting the word and just changing your perspective. So just throw that out there as something that has worked for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been using it also. It's a hard habit to break, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But we constantly practice.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone, for sharing. Oh, I'm sorry. Was someone going to say something?
Yeah, Sasha, I was going to ask a question. And
okay.
I also just wanted to know, Jess, because I don't know about, we wanted just a clarification on the SMART goals. And I wanted to know, when you write a SMART goal, do you write one SMART goal and then you take that and then you break it down in the 30-day, 60-day, 90-day, or you write down a few goals and do the same action?
Well, you can do both. You can take one SMART goal.
Mm-hmm.
And break it down into those sections, 30, 60, 90 days, just to reach that one goal. You can do that system, that strategy for every single goal you have.
And then you wanted like three action points on each for
three
that one
key initiatives.
Goal.
Yep, three key
yeah.
initiatives
okay.
for that goal.
Okay.
And then within 24 hours of setting that, you know, for each initiative, you want to decide on the next best action. So that will keep you going. That will get you into action. Because you can write it all out on paper but never get started.
Mm-hmm. So within the next 24 hours, you mean after you write it, so then, I don't understand, so you write it out, and then within the next 24 hours, like, what is your next step?
For the initiatives. So you've got your goal. You've got your 30-day goal, your 60-day goal, and your 90-day goal. You'll obviously be working on your 30-day goal first. All right? And for that goal, you're going to have three initiatives. You're not going to work on the 60-day initiative because you're not there yet. So for the initiatives that you give to the 30-day goal, you also want to break it down one step further to put you into action to reach that 30-day goal. By taking some baby steps or next best action, it's one and the same.
Okay,
is that helpful?
Yep.
All right. Any other questions on SMART goals since we're here? Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for replying back to receiving the certification requirements. And I'm also going to be sending you, as soon as I receive it, I was hoping to have it this morning, but I'll send it out probably later today or tomorrow, just a coaching worksheet to keep track of the number of sessions that you're coaching, which include, obviously, the demos in the coach-to-coach sessions in our live calls, as well as coaching with your buddies, if you're choosing to do that, and in addition, coaching outside of our circle. So I'll send you that form. Again, it's not, it's an adult and learning environment, but I'd love for you guys to keep track and then send it to me at the end, just for certification requirement. All right. Any questions on that piece? Great. Okay, let's move into today's agenda. Did anyone have any questions, concerns, brilliant insights on the reading material for today? All right, then let's go ahead and turn to page 103. And Brandy, just give us a heads up when you need to go.
Yeah, I'm gonna switch off in just 3 minutes. So
okay. Well, enjoy your meditation. Where are you exactly?
I'm probably not far. I landed in LA yesterday, and I'm in Joshua Tree.
All right. Well, enjoy the warmth and enjoy the meditation, and listen to the call before next week.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
All right, so we are on page 103, and we are going to be, hang on 1 second, we're going to be talking today about clarifying and specifying the agenda and focusing on what the client wants. So if you had a chance to read through this section, it gives you just more detail from where we started last week, fulfilling the client's agenda. So, Jeff, do you mind reading just the first sentence and then one, two, and three?
No problem. Three things must be fully present for artful coaching to take place. The coach is fully focused on the client. The client is willing to be coached. And the client has brought a particular agenda for this session.
Okay. So can you share how you think this differs from any other coaching relationship or any other, not necessarily coaching relationship, but when people work with a consultant, a therapist, a mentor, how does this mentor coaching differ? How does it differ?
I think actually it differs in all the ways. My initial reaction was that it mainly differs in that the client is bringing the agenda, but then I was thinking that it actually differs for points number one and number two as well, because I used to be a consultant, and I know that we weren't always focused on the client. We were focused on, you know, making our money and doing our research, and it wasn't just all about the client. So I think that is really key, this whole aspect of listening and focusing only on the client. I think the willingness to be coached is really important, too. I mean, there were a lot of clients in consulting that hired us, but internally they weren't really committed to change. I say internally inside the organization, but also inside, you know, the hearts and minds of the individuals. And then the fact that the client is bringing the agenda, I think, is really powerful, contrasting versus, like, therapy, where it seems like the therapist is more setting the agenda. Like, they seem like they're one step ahead of you in knowing what you need to do to fix your problem. And that's very different than how it feels so far in exploring the coaching method.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all that insight. And I just want to add a little bit more to this concept. So basically, the client writes their own story, right? We're there helping them to be the architect of their story. And there are some tools that we're learning that we can help them facilitate this by, number one, asking powerful questions, number two, either reframing or explaining what you heard. So that would be sort of clarifying the agenda. Another tool that we are working with is brainstorming. Another one is to create ideas and insights, so using your intuition. And another one could be to strategize. So in keeping with these three things as the most important and knowing that that's where you're headed and that's what coaching is all about, then we break it down into ways that we can get the client to engage and move in the direction that they want to move. So some other things to consider is really like a self-statement. When you get into a coaching relationship, what people say and do is the best indication of their story, right? So if they're, for example, projecting or resisting, they're showing you exactly what it's like to be them. So your experience with that is sort of a barometer. So your job is to really listen, brainstorm, use your intuition, ask powerful questions, but to also, I love okay, bye-bye, Brandy. Nicole said about sorry, I just lost my train of thought there. To use your sense of how it feels energetically, right? If you feel like they're projecting or they're resisting. So they're not telling you in their words. They might be showing you, or you can get a sense of feeling it with their energy. Does that make sense? Because most of these sessions will be done on the phone. And so we really have to have our antenna up and be able to tap into the subtleties of what the client may not be saying or where they're projecting or resisting. So it encourages us to listen at multiple levels, right, energetically, and then tapping into maybe any passive language, because any kind of passive language means that they're not taking authorship of their story. Any questions on any of this? This is just not necessarily written. It's kind of scattered throughout, but they're just some notes that I've taken that I wanted to share. Any questions from the two of you on the client writing their own story, them making a self-statement, and listening at multiple levels? Because all of these are helping you to fulfill the client's agenda. Okay, great. Let's turn to page 108 and continue with clarifying the client's agenda. Midway down the page, Nicole, would you just begin reading just to the bottom of the page?
Sure. The client's agenda is more than just the topic of discussion for the session. The client's agenda includes the details surrounding the topic and what the client wants to take away from the session. The first phase of your coaching session is about setting the stage. You may be tempted to rush through this part to get into more dynamic coaching, but don't. Make sure their agenda is clear before you proceed. As your client begins to share what is on their mind, listen closely for the key points that compose their agenda. One, the specific topic they want to explore in this session. Two, any important details about the topic. And three, what exactly do they want to take away from the session? This may be a shift in perspective, solutions, or next steps.
Okay, so let's pause there. And if you would share with us sort of how that lands with you and any inquiries that come up from this section.
This I think for me was the tougher part in the first coaching call that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of information that comes all at once, so deciphering the information and sifting through, I can see is a very, it's an art form. So trying to get that specific topic, I could imagine that in some cases it might be tricky, where they come with a lot of things and just deciphering down is more challenging.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's like I say every week, I think it's building that coaching muscle by practicing, by being in it. Just like we build anything else, we practice, we get better.
Hi, Olga.
Hi, Olga. You joined us.
Yes, I did. But it's not going to be for very long. At 12 o'clock, I have to leave the call.
That's okay. Well, I was preparing everyone that Brandy came on for the first 15. I told them you might be coming on. So thank you for being here. We're just going to continue on, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So back to the conversation that we're building this muscle to become a more confident coach. And you're right. And that's why we have these coach the coach sessions as part of this program, so you can dive right in and get an experience of what it's like. So learning through experience is great. And the client may be all over the map. They may come to the call with 10 things. They may come to the call with nothing. And it's our job to sort of, I love this word, distill.
Mm.
That's how you're getting to the client's agenda. You're distilling by using these tools of powerful questions, reframing, brainstorming ideas, insights, and strategizing. Because sometimes, most times, they're not even clear.
Mm.
So if you read any of these, I thought that some of the examples in the book were great. Through a coach-client example, one was hijacking, and the other one, it was just different examples. But just tuning your antenna in to what they may be projecting, what they may be resisting. So that's where you have to use your skills. I think in a way that you use your skills in a yoga studio in front of a class, being intuitive, and feeling how a client is showing up, right? Now, in class, you have a visual. Oftentimes, in the coaching relationship, it's mostly done on the phone. That's not to say that it's always done on the phone. It's just probably about 80% of the time.
Oh, no.
Oh, I guess she didn't like what I was saying. Okay. I'm sorry. I'll try to reframe what I'm saying. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's our job to help clarify what may not be and most likely is not clear to them. Very rarely will a client come to the call and say, my agenda for today is... Right? That would make our job super sweet and easy. So we just prepare for that not happening. And then on page 109, just below the bullets, in bold, Nicole, would you just read that paragraph?
On 109, under which part?
And if you are listening.
Hi, Alvin.
Right.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'll go back on mute.
If you're listening closely.
Okay. If you are listening closely, the client will usually tell you exactly what they want out of the session in the first 1 to 5 minutes of the session. If you don't hear it, it's critical to ask, what would you like to take away from the session?
Great. So that's exactly what I was sharing with you. So in the first 1 to 5 minutes, the two of you should become really clear as to what the focus is for that particular session. And if you're not feeling like you have enough clarity around it, simply because your client is not helping you gain that clarity, it's definitely, it's totally fine to ask. And oftentimes we do ask. Does that make sense? Because this first step is huge. It's your roadmap for the rest of the session. Otherwise, you're going to be meandering through the call. It's going to feel very weak and unproductive. So I just wanted to be sure that we get a handle on this piece.
Sasha, this is Jess. Would it be okay to ask a question now about this?
Please.
What happens if you believe that you've clarified the agenda and then 10, 20 minutes into the call, you realize that there's more unearthing you needed to do and that maybe you didn't get to the underlying agenda? Is it okay to go back and say, you know, let's go back to clarify the agenda? Or what do you do when you feel kind of lost in that way?
So if I'm hearing your question clearly, you're saying when you start off, you're feeling as the coach like you've got some clarity around your client's agenda. But maybe as the conversation continues, you're realizing that maybe you weren't clear on the agenda. Is that what you're asking? Okay. And Okay. Absolutely. There's no, you know, there's a structure that we're learning, but it's not black and white. Your job as a coach is to definitely create the roadmap, but there's some flow there. There's some dancing between the client and the coach. And if you ever feel that you're unclear, you can simply pause and just check in and just simply ask the client, is this the agenda that you would like to discuss today? You know, you can go back and clarify. But if you have an insight or an intuition that hits you 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes into the call, that's totally fine to take a pause. We talked about that briefly last week, determining useful intervention moments, which is the second tool. Absolutely. Because if you're feeling sort of off base or unclear, then you're going to, your client's going to feel that too. So it's absolutely great to go back and clarify. And that's where mirroring comes in, if I heard you correctly, you know, and they'll tell you. They'll tell you yes or no. Okay. Is that helpful?
Very helpful.
Awesome. Other questions about clarifying the client's agenda? Great. Okay, so now I would like to turn to page, oh, you don't even have to turn. Well, we did that one, just sort of the takeaway. Page 88, so no chronology going on here today in the page numbers. So turn back to page 88. Olga, are you in a place that you can speak, or would you rather be on mute?
Background noise.
Okay, no problem.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So, Jess, just read that first paragraph at the top of page 88.
Okay. Specifying the agenda and determining what the client wants to take away from the session distinguishes coaching from all other professional engagements. The client has established a map for effectiveness in determining the agenda and the desired outcome. The result will be the experience and model of mastery.
And actually just the next two sentences of the next paragraph.
Okay. If the agenda is not crystal clear to you, further specify and ask questions until you fully understand what the client wants. This is a crucial step in the beginning of the coaching session.
So there's your answer to your question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, no, that was lucky for me. That was so unscripted and so unplanned. I'm like, this is good. seriously, that was great. That was a divine intervention right there. But anyway, so once you're specifying the agenda, it's all about what the client wants to take away. That gives them the roadmap for where they want to go. So it was just a sort of a punctuation on this section. And feel free to ask until you fully understand what the client wants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because really, the takeaway is, you know, what the client wants to take away is we'll start out in one place, and as you'll find, may lead into other areas. So that's where you have to be sort of malleable and be sure that you're sticking with the agenda, but allow it to not be so black and white. It may come and go and flow, and that's great. Okay. All right. Let's please turn to page right there, 89, delivering powerful questions. So as a, I'm just going to throw this out to you guys, as a client, is it important for you, actually you could probably say this in every phase of your life, how important is it to you to feel heard and to be seen? And you can each answer the question on your own.
You want to answer the question how important it is to be heard and seen?
Yes, for you personally in your life.
Oh, it's critical. I feel less connected to the people around me if I don't feel heard and seen. And intrinsically, obviously I know I have value, but I feel less valued as an individual if I don't feel connected and if I don't feel heard and seen.
And how does that translate to your ability to effectively coach your client?
Well, if I'm not feeling connected and if I'm searching for that connection or if I'm not feeling valued and seen, then I'll be probably more worried about myself than about my client's agenda.
Okay, I'm going to ask it in a different way. How important is it for your client to be seen and heard?
Oh, very important for the client to be seen and heard.
I love it. That was like the most honest answer ever. It's great. It's great. No, it's true. But it, you know, you want to come to the call in your full potential, feeling as grounded as you can, and then you offer that. But the point being that it's the clients come to the relationship really valuing that wanting to be seen and heard, just like we value it in our own lives. So it's a really, really important piece. And so we practice listening, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But on page 89, Nicole, I don't have too many people to choose from. So sorry. Frances's birthday was Sunday, so she's somewhere with her boyfriend. I guess I can't really call on her. So, Nicole, just read those 5 bullet points and the 1 paragraph that follows, delivering powerful questions. What do they do?
Okay. Are we at the bottom, right? Symbol,
we are at the top.
Oh, okay.
Directs
the flow of the session, gathers useful data, develops rapport, facilitates a growth mindset, and stimulates insight.
And then read the next paragraph, please.
It is the coach's responsibility to keep the session moving in a useful direction. Asking questions enables the coach to facilitate the session, to continually explore who the client is, what the client wants, and what both can do co-creatively achieve the client's focus. The client's answers tell the coach where to go next with the coaching.
Do you guys get that piece? The client's answers tell the coach where to go next with the coaching. So if we're in our own heads and we're not fully present and or we're thinking of what to say next, those are all examples of potentially hijacking the agenda, especially what we want to say next. Because if they haven't spoken, and we're not fully listening, then we're just going to make up what we're going to say next. But rather, listening to what the client is saying, allowing them to feel heard by listening intently, and from their words, then we can formulate our next powerful questions. So unless we're listening, we're not going to go we're not going to know where to go. We're just going to formulate our own roadmap. And that's sometimes challenging. So we really want to pay attention to what's being said. We want to practice our listening skills. And it's okay to, like, have a pause, to let what they say resonate with you and determine where you want to go from there. Jess, can you possibly offer a parallel to yoga with this piece?
Sure. I mean, I think we're always trying to listen as teachers or observe as teachers to the students' bodies and where they want to go next. And an example would be adding in a twist, for instance. If I feel like I'm doing, even if it's not a big backbending class and people are kind of antsy and moving around a lot or not being able to sit still in a pose, and I'm thinking specifically about Warrior One, like if people are wiggling around a lot and not staying in it, or they're overarching in their low back, sometimes I'll add a twist in to, like, a twisting crescent in between a flow to just give them a little bit of relief and kind of ring things out.
That's great. Nicole, do you have a yoga parallel to share? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of thinking along the same lines where you'll have, as teachers, I definitely come in with a plan or an agenda, but then, you know, this happened to me the other day, a guy walked into my class, the 2-3, and he had never, ever done yoga before.
Oh, that is so challenging.
And so, and he was with his wife, and I didn't want him to look, you know, silly, because I'm sure he would have felt bad. And so I slowed the class down, not just for him, but just taught a more, you know, we held poses a lot longer so I could mind him, you know, and help him so he didn't feel uncomfortable. He actually left the class and was like, that was awesome. That was so much fun, which was my hope for him to not feel bad, you know, because I know that can be really challenging for people. So it was fun, and it also just let other people kind of drop into their own breathing and things like that. So
absolutely. I'm curious if you had the opportunity, I don't know how yoga works, like, do you check people in, if you know it's his first time, were you able to have a brief conversation with him or ask him any questions or tell him any insights as to what the class was going to look like?
I did. I mean, he kind of walked in right at the end. They were actually late, and so he was, like, right in the middle. I just said, you know, this class is an upper-level class, but don't be concerned. I'll help you as best as I can. And I said, really, and this is what I actually said, very much from the coaching perspective. I said, it's really just about listening. So if you can just drop in to listen, then you'll be much better off.
All right, you've graduated. Good job. That's great. I love how all of this stuff shows up in our entire lives. So good. Yeah, great, great yoga parallels. This stuff can be, like I said, it can be useful in all areas. And if we just turn to page 90, I'll just read at the top, you know, what we've already been talking about. The more powerful the questions asked, the fewer questions are needed. Right? So our role is not to interview our clients or to fire questions, but to connect and guide them to their own wisdom, insights, and solution. So coaching uses the process of appreciative inquiry to draw a client out and move toward the client's objectives. So it's constantly coming back to this idea that it is all about the client. It's all about their choice to come into this collaborative relationship, to get out of a stuck place, to move their agenda forward, to brainstorm with their coach on how they can effectively meet their goals and continue to move on this path. And so it really comes all the way back, and you're going to hear me probably say this every week, it's all about the client. And it's our job to hold them as creative, resourceful, whole, and accountable. Okay? Any questions on this section?
Sasha, this is Jess. Can you tell me more of what appreciative inquiry means?
Yes. It's sort of, let me see how I want to put this. So it's actually using both of those words together, just as their name. So inquiry obviously means a question to enable them to think about something that might draw them deeper and clearer into their objectives. Appreciative just means, I feel, and I can check into this, but I just feel it's coming from a softer, more encouraging space, mm-hmm. rather than sort of a hard-lined stance of inquiring. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I'm really sort of brainstorming here as I'm formulating my answer to you, because I understand it in my head, but I've never directly been asked the question. So if I had to define it, I would define it in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's lots of ways to ask questions, but you're the energy around it is positive. It's appreciative, it's soft, it's encouraging, it's mindful, and so that what you're encouraging them to think about has that energy around it as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
really
helpful.
I could give an example. Okay, well, I'm glad that's helpful. But.
Oh, this is Nicole. I was going to say the example that comes to mind is what we talked about, I think, in week one, which was asking powerful questions and the word why, which sounds defensive and puts people on or puts the client at the defensive, in a defensive state, whereas appreciative inquiry is still an inquiry, but it's not that that same energy. It's appreciative.
Yeah, exactly. It's what the word says. Exactly. That's a great example. That's a great example, yeah, to stay away from the word why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's now please turn to page 95. All right. So we're going to talk just for the last 9 or 10 minutes here before we get to the top of the hour about listening as mentor coaches. So I'm not sure whose turn it is to speak, but whoever would like to read the bullet points on 95 would be great. Don't fight, girls. Just, you know.
We just arm wrestled really quickly.
Good. Rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. As mentor coaches, become accustomed to listening to a story without trying to fix it. First, put your ego in a blind trust. I love that. Mm-hmm. Don't take it personally. Listen to the language, whether active or passive. Listen to the point of reference, whether internal or external. Listen to the source of authority, whether self or other. Listen for the initiation of action, whether proactive or reactive. Listen for how centered the speaker is in his or her experience. Listen for the state of mind of the speaker and whether the state of mind is regulated and fits the task. Listen for self-reference, in the first or second person.
So that's a lot, right?
That's
a lot,
yes,
of skills and principles to sort of like a fire hose of information. What questions or what do you want to share about any of those points? Maybe an experience that's worked for you or not worked for you, or you just have a question on what it means.
I'm not sure what the second to last one really means. Listen for the state of mind of the speaker and whether the state of mind is regulated and fits the task.
So, again, you're talking about energetically, all right, because we're not in a visual space. So energetically, just listening for how they're showing up, how their state of mind is. And whether, you know, can you tell when somebody is bouncing all over the place?
Mm-hmm.
Energetically?
Yeah.
Okay, so they tell you and they show you who they are by what they say, but then there's also this component of energy around what they say. So I think the first piece of this is, are they really distilling down and staying in a direct line towards what they want, right? So, or are they all over the place and still just, this is your listening skills, what are you hearing? Are you hearing them feel a little bit more grounded about their agenda? Or are you hearing them, again, just being in a myriad of different directions? Because it's challenging. What you hear and the energy around that, you have to use your coaching skills with powerful questions to sort of pull everything back in and distill it down to one thing that feels really grounded. I'm not a fan of the word regulated, but again, I didn't write this manual. But I think it means more grounded.
Hmm.
And from that place, can they move into the learning, the task, the goals, the objectives?
Mm-hmm.
Because unless you get really grounded, unless you get really clear, it doesn't matter what steps you take, because where's the roadmap?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, it's this subtlety of this energetic feel. And we all don't have that gift. As yoga teachers, I think we're more in tune energetically with our students. But I certainly don't fall on the mastery end of reading energy. My teacher is Sean Korn, and she is just, you know, that's one of her gifts, right, is reading energy. And knowing how to use it without exploiting it, but using it to the student's advantage and using it in a symbolic way, and so all of that stuff. So that's a great question, and that's how I would define that, and I hope that's useful to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What other questions on the listening piece of these bullet points?
I don't have a question, but maybe I could share something.
Sure.
I was just reflecting about a private client I have, and the session was focused really on some techniques she could do to add more poses to her nighttime routine. The person who was teaching her before me had given her a little sequence, and she wanted to add a little more strengthening poses. And the way that the session evolved, by the end, we were doing seated poses, and it really evolved into her breath and not doing, but there wasn't a grasp of the Ujjayi breath and that smoothing breath. And so we actually sat back to back, and we just breathed, and we felt each other's breath, and we listened to each other's breath. And for me, it was such a powerful aha that I had spent this whole time trying to add poses, and one, maybe I didn't clarify her agenda now that I know this, these coaching tools differently, of what she really wanted. And what she really wanted was a feeling of peace and calm, but also mastery, like feeling like she was doing enough. And she had wanted to add more things on. But as we're speaking through this, it reminds me not only of listening and the opportunity I maybe missed to clarify her agenda at the beginning, but also listening to each other, listening to each other's breath. And that's been the most powerful thing I've probably done with her, because since then, her Ujjayi breath is consistent. I don't even have to tell her to breathe Ujjayi breath. She just breathes it. So, yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful. And that's the beauty of being able to be in a space with your client. Like you can breathe with your client on the phone, but to have that physical sensation of feeling your backs connected, your breath connected, your heart connected is huge. And I love that these principles and these tools that you're learning in this program are manifesting for you on the mat.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's really powerful. So just to sum up sort of this summary of listening, you know, ways to do it is energetically, especially when you're on the phone, with neutrality, so not taking anything personally. Check in, is there a point of reference internal or external? You can read more about that. Is their point of authority with their self or other? So are they projecting outward, or are they really truly connected to their authentic self? And how also, that's just a sort of a subset on that, how the client reflects to themselves. So if they go into the third person, like you, rather than I, that's actually a coachable moment, because it's saying that they have distanced themselves from their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they change the pronoun from I to you or your or something like that. So these are the things that, you know, will come up and we'll be listening for during our live sessions. As someone's chuckling, do you want to share? Was that a chuckle?
Pardon me?
No, I'm sorry. I thought somebody was laughing in the background, like maybe shaking their head yes to agree with some of this.
Oh, we did both go, and we've been writing things. We were writing notes down. Nicole and I are big note takers.
Great. I am too. Okay, so any questions on that piece? All right. Well, it's that time, ladies, and before we get into Jess coaching Nicole, I believe I'll be the observer. If for some reason Olga comes off mute and has listened to the session, I will allow her to share her experience too. But I would like for one of you to share the five tools of the simple coaching model before we start.
I will. This is Jess.
Thank you.
For the first...
Oh. Bye-bye.
Hi, Olga.
It's hilarious. Okay, go ahead.
And for the second tool, I have determined points of intervention. Number three, shift the perspective. Number four, frame the session. And number five, follow-up.
Great. So just a little bit of just sort of a tip. It's always great to begin with what they know, just sort of like as in yoga, okay? And today, I will be doing my best to listen for the takeaway, what exactly is the client's agenda, deep listening, powerful questions, and I'll be giving my feedback in about 15 minutes. So I will mute, and the two of you just go for it whenever you're ready and mind your time and have fun.
Great. So, good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, Jess.
Thank you for co-creating this time with me. How are you feeling?
Nervous.
Yeah, me too. I'm a little nervous too. I think that's a normal emotion to be holding right now. Tell me more about what you'd like to get out of our time together.
I had one thing in mind, and now I have another.
What's okay.
That feels more important. So it's been on my mind, I should say, the last 2 days. My ex-boyfriend and I kind of reignited a conversation recently, and we've been broken up since September, and we've come back together several times just in terms of physical meetings, not physical, sexual, but physical meetings. So we've, like, seen each other, gone out to dinner a few times, and have had lots of phone conversations and lots of texts. And this last time that I spoke to him, he inferred on the phone without saying it that he's considering us, but without really saying it bluntly, he kind of alluded to it. So he also ended the conversation with, I had a lot of a text that said I had a lot of insight after our conversation, and I'll send you an email about it tonight. That was 2 days ago. And so I haven't heard it from him since, and it's kind of driving me crazy. So I guess I had told him on the phone that I didn't want to pressure him, but now I'm feeling like all of my energy is being directed towards, where's this email? And I'm kind of wondering how I need to approach it without I don't want to pressure him, but I also can feel how I'm directing all of my energy towards waiting, and I'm not present. And I keep checking my email constantly. I'm waiting for this stupid email. So I guess I'm just in need of some assistance and guidance into what the next step would be for that.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. That's a lot that's going on, and that's come back in, and I know how difficult it is to wait for something, so I honor that can be a challenge. So it sounds like to me that you would like to talk more and focus on next steps to take action in this situation, but do so in a way that feels like you're not pressuring him. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how would you feel if we just took a few minutes to brainstorm possible next steps, possible courses of action, so that you would feel less of a pressure of waiting, but also be respectful of him and not be pressuring him?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So knowing that this is just a space where we can brainstorm new ideas, what are some possible thoughts that come to mind about next steps?
Well, one thing I thought of is just simply asking, which I did ask yesterday. I kind of got impatient, and I just said, hey, I was wondering, did you send that email? I might have missed it. And he did text back and said, oh, I'm going through it. I'm really having trouble. So my first thought was, well, he didn't write it because after he thought he'd write me, he realized he wasn't still clear. So with that, I guess he's not clear, and so my feeling is that I just need to back off and let it go. But it doesn't really resolve my impatience towards really wanting to know what this is. Also, at the same time, I have a retreat, as you know, coming up in March, and there's an open space, and we talked about perhaps him coming on the retreat. But there's also inquiries and people who are willing to pay for the spot, and I need to put a deposit down in the next few days. So that's part of my impatience, is wondering if I should
let somebody else take the spot and not worry so much, and then that might release the pressure on the decision.
Mm-hmm.
So
it sounds like maybe one of the effects of his not responding yet with the email is this time pressure of the retreat and the spot in the retreat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So would you like to explore how the retreat is involved in this situation?
Yeah. I mean, I had an astrologer booked, and she canceled last minute, and he's an astrologer. And so I thought, well, that would be a great way to, if we end up being together, he could be on the retreat, share the experience with me, and also be the solution to the fact that she left.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed very synchronistic for all of it to come together that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my own desire would be to have him come.
Mm-hmm.
But only if that means we're getting back together.
Mm-hmm.
It could be kind of disastrous if that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. So what would feel like other next steps or possibilities for discovering how the retreat spot could be filled?
I mean, I guess I could fill the space. I could fill the retreat spot with someone and have it be full. And then if he decides that he wants to give this a go, add him later. And then, I mean, there are spaces in the retreat center, so we could actually go into a different room if that were the case. So I guess I don't have to have an answer now. I could actually fill the spot, the current spot, with somebody else and give him some more time.
And how would that feel if you filled it with someone else?
Good, actually. Good. I have to check on some costs with the caterer and with the event retreat center.
Mm-hmm. So if you're comfortable with that aspect, would you be comfortable with that aspect of the retreat?
Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just checking the time, Nicole. We have a few more minutes. So we just worked through some discussions about the retreat and the implications of your correspondence with him. Do you think he understands the situation and the effect of the retreat on the situation and the sensitivity to time?
I could probably be clearer with it. I told him to take his time, so I wasn't really giving him any sort of deadline. I basically told him I would let him know when I needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm feeling a little less patient than what I implied to him.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I could be a bit clearer with that as well.
Mm-hmm. And what would that look like to express to him how you're feeling now?
I could probably maybe send him an email or send him a text and just let him know I'm going to fill a space. And that, this is where I get tripped up because I already told him that he had time.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this stuff I feel like is happening in my head.
Mm.
So I think managing my own energy around it, like make a decision, fill the space, and then there's no pressure on money or anything like that, and then let him take his time. And like I said, I would give him, and then that will give me space and time, I think, to keep I'm just trying to fill into this, that'll give me space and time. And maybe more
patience and understanding. Mm-hmm. Where is that?
Mm-hmm. So you said something interesting about how you feel that it's all in your head. Tell me a little bit more about that.
I communicated one thing to him, and I want to honor that communication. So I feel like on my end, I need to manage the process of what's actually really going on so that my own energy can be directed properly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think taking the next steps to get the cost, call the retreat center, call my caterer, figure out all the logistics, and then, you know, make a hard, fast decision about it's full, let's say. It is full.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And then that gives him however long it needs to take him to come to a conclusion. And that will be an honoring of both commitments, an honoring to myself to manage the process of the retreat, and an honoring my commitment to him by telling him that he could have his time and space to make his decision.
Mm-hmm. And how does it feel to honor those two commitments?
Good. I actually feel a lot clearer right now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So let's reflect a little bit about what we just discussed. It sounds like you're feeling clearer mm-hmm. about some of the next steps and honoring both of those commitments.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot that we shared with each other. Is there anything that you still want to talk through?
No, I think I'm clear. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded like on your end, to honor your commitment was talking to the caterer and the cost and figuring out that last spot of the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
When would feel appropriate for taking that next step?
Today. I'd like to actually call both of them and figure out the cost, get that ironed out,
mm-hmm.
and then offer the open space to a paying customer, and then just know that's complete.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not going to contact Ryan. I'm just going to let him take his process and be okay with that.
Great. That's super exciting. So
yeah.
Would it be possible for you to let me know tomorrow morning how it evolved with the caterer and who took the last spot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Great. And you'll send that to me over email?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
And I will speak with you next week.
Yay. thank you.
Okay.
I needed that.
All right. I have taken myself off mute. Great job, ladies. Publishable mm-hmm. again. Wow. I'm really impressed. Seriously. So I typically go last, but since I'm the observer,
yeah.
I'll go first, and then I'll give you both space to share your thoughts on that experience.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning with Jess, just right up front, tremendous acknowledgement of where she is. Great clarification in understanding her agenda for the call. You distilled it down, I think, to when you got to talking about the retreat. And I didn't catch the guy's name.
Ryan.
Ryan, okay. Ryan, potentially being this astrologer that just bailed on you, right? So I think that really got to the heart of it in terms of what Nicole's decision is going to be around that. I mean, I think that gave her great insight. Oh, hell, here's a perfect opportunity, but yet, you know, I feel so many other things around what I told him, and I'm sort of tripped up in my own head around this. So I just felt that those two pieces were really, really key in the opportunity for Ryan to come in and participate in the retreat as the astrologer, but also honoring Nicole's commitment to give him space and let him know. So that was, I just really liked the way that you got there. I personally would have lingered a little bit longer in the thought of him joining before asking for any next steps, because I felt that it was a little bit emotional there. Not that I heard any emotion, but I would have liked to see Nicole maybe explore a little bit of the somatic experience of what it would be like for Ryan to join in the retreat, because obviously this is a personal relationship. She expressed to you in the beginning that, she's checking your email constantly and, just being impatient about hearing from him. So it definitely has an emotional component to it, is what I felt. So in that space, it's totally fine, in that situation, it's totally fine to give a little pause and for you to linger in it and for the client to linger in it, just like, okay, well, how does that feel in the body? Just to get her a little bit more connected to that somatic experience and staying out of her head, because she just told you. She told you after, but she's getting tripped up in her head, and you want to pull her back and connect her to her heart. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So that was an opportunity. Okay, and that was just an opportunity. And then after that, you went right into asking the next steps for the retreat, which was great, is exactly what the next step was. Just reading my notes here. I thought that you created a great, useful intervention moment when you said, tell me more of what it's like to be tricked up in your own head. Okay, really useful. So it got Nicole to explore that a little bit. And I think for Nicole, it was a little bit, again, what I said earlier, personal experience versus logistical. Like, how is she feeling in her body around Ryan? And then what are all the logistics around the retreat? So there's a lot of both there. And then I also feel the aha moment came when Nicole said, I feel clearer. I feel clearer around this. So when you get a client to state that, you've done some powerful work. And again, 15 minutes is not a long time. So just really, really great work. You did a great follow-up, like, when are you will you be able to email me tomorrow? The only thing I would have encouraged is a statement coming from Nicole, actually stating what she's committed to, because you empower the client and you hold them accountable when they speak a sentence saying, I am committed to whatever. Okay.
Yep.
Any questions on my feedback?
That's super helpful. I really like what you talked about with the somatic experience, because I agree. I could tell there was a lot of emotion there, and I think I was a little nervous to dive into it. I just didn't necessarily feel like I could handle it on a time frame or maybe handle it in general. So I also wasn't sure if I was hijacking the client's agenda by talking about the retreat, if it was kind of going down a rabbit hole. But anyway, I think it was fine. But I like the somatic experience. I think that would be really powerful, that idea of, tell me what it's like to be tripped up in your head, and then how would it feel to be more centered in your heart or something like that.
Yeah. And you've got a couple things going on there. You're in the same room. You're looking at each other. You're good friends. You work together, right? All of these things going on, and then you feel like you're on the clock. But if you feel that it's something useful to spend time on, even if it's in a 15-minute coaching session during our program, use your intuition. Stay there. Even if you don't feel like you're going to get to all the five steps, because in an hour's time or a 15-minute session, you'll get to all the steps. But I want you to practice here I don't want you to, I'll encourage you to keep tapping into your intuition. And if there's something that is really burning in you to explore, then just check in with your client and say, are you willing to explore this a little deeper? And they'll let you know.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Nicole, how was that experience for you?
It was great. I felt really unclear around this situation, and it's been bugging me for a while, and I was going to come to the coaching call with a completely different thing, and then I was just like, you know, this is really what I what I need to talk about and get some clarity on, and so it felt as confusing as it was really confusing to articulate it for me as well, and so I appreciated that Jess was so direct, because it made me come to a quicker agenda, I guess. And it made me clarify all the different pieces that were happening all at once. So it felt good. It felt a little uneasy at first, but it definitely got easier. And I feel like she definitely asked the right questions to tell me more. That was really strong. And I just felt really safe with her. It was really nice, a very nice experience for me. So.
That's great. Is there anything that you would have wanted more of?
I mean, now that you're talking about the somatic experience, I do feel like that could have been deepened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did feel like I was still kind of deeply in my head. And I was trying to get out of the head, so I kept kind of dropping in. I was closing my eyes. I was trying to drop into my own heart and tap into those feelings versus being too much in my head. So, yeah.
And I believe so strongly, which is why I'm part of this program, that the tools and skills and wisdom and experience that you already have as brilliant yoga teachers will serve you in this collaborative relationship with your client. So really don't hesitate to tap into what you already know, because in that somatic way. Jess, what was your experience like?
I was really nervous at first, and actually it's funny, we're both in the same conference room, but we weren't looking at each other because we were both really trying to be present, and so we both had our eyes closed as if we were on a call, which was really helpful.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I could feel at different points, like my energy fluctuating, and so I just kept trying to ground it down through my feet. I was a little nervous, a little intimidated by the depth of the emotional piece, and I see now that there were other possibilities for exploring that, including just placing a hand on the heart and getting connected, or, you know, talking about the heart or other things. So I definitely learned a lot. I learned a lot through the call, but I was a little bit surprised. I was surprised that Nicole got something out of it, because in my head I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right. Your ego kind of got in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you were in a performance state, like, how am I doing? And that's what happens to all of us when we're new, when we're green, when we're just learning. We're unsure, and we want to do it well, and we want to do it right. And those are all judgments, and that all comes from our ego. But I'm a firm believer that when you come from a state of tremendous connection to self, a tremendous grounding and authenticity, to listen and care for and encourage your client, and a connection to your own heart, great things will come. Great things will come in ways that you couldn't even imagine that they would come together. So it's that, really that tool of being present and listening and collaborating and holding that safe and sacred space for your client to evolve, listen, grow, learn, move, all that stuff. So, really great work, you two. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other final thoughts before I go over the homework?
Nope.
Great. Okay. So it's on your syllabus, but I just like to go over it. Read pages 67 through 80, as well as page 113 through 124. And then review the simple coaching model tools in page 97 through 100. You might as well just mark those in your book because we'll be checking in on those every week. And in the supplement, agenda, well, I think I, let me just double check on this. Good. Agenda and intentions on page 5 and the action challenge on page 6. But, yeah.
What's agenda?
Let me go to that document. Because I think our homework was on page 4. And I changed the syllabus up a little bit. This last, today's homework was on page 4. Right. And so,
read page 5, maybe.
Read page 5 on intentions and samskaras. And then do the action challenge on page 6.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right, ladies, reach out if you need anything in between our sessions. And hope you have a great week. And I look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha.
You're welcome. Thanks, you guys. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye.